The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it. "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "Who are you then, Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an account to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. As I mentioned in the introduction, this third Sunday of Advent, when we wear the rose-colored vestments, the antiphon is "Rejoice, Gaudete, be joyful." And I'm sure some of us are thinking, "Say what? Joyful? Wait a minute. Look at the economy. Look at the politics. Look at the fact that we're in a war. Look at the struggle in the family. Look at people losing their jobs. And you want us to rejoice? Please, folks, huh?" We begin to wonder. God seems to be asking us to do something stupid. What do we got to rejoice about? Of course, the Israelites, we're in fine company. The Israelites said that all the time. What do we have to rejoice about? Of course, from the Lord's perspective, we have plenty to rejoice about. From ours, we seem to be lacking a little bit. It never changes, you know. In all the years of development and technology, human nature pretty much still remains the same. We might wear better clothes or have nicer gadgets, but we're not much different than the people in Jesus' time. We're still looking at things in a different way. I'll give you an example. That first reading from Isaiah, we hear in the Gospels, of all places, when Jesus begins his public ministry in Nazareth, in Luke's Gospel, the helper brings Jesus the Torah scroll, which has the prophet Isaiah, and he reads that passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, therefore he has anointed me." Now, did the people, being so wise and so present, say, "Yes, Jesus, you're the Messiah"? They says, "Who do you think you are? We know your brothers and sisters. We know your father was Joseph. We know your mother is Mary. There's no way you're the Messiah." And we say the same thing today. The Lord says, "Have faith in this world. Have faith in God. And put everything else secondary after that." And we're saying, "Are you crazy? Where is God in the world?" Oh, he's all over the place. We're just not recognizing him. Just as John said, they didn't recognize the Messiah. It's very hard for us to pay attention to those things. But if we begin to pay attention, we begin to understand what it really means to say we have much to rejoice about. And it's basically this. When we look at our state in life, some of us are extremely happy. Some of us are, kind of, sort of. Some of us are in the pits. We all cover the whole range of human emotions and feelings. All those things are going on in us all the time. Sometimes we feel like the world's against us, that no matter what we do, the world's going to outdo us, or it's going to trample on us. We feel like there's no way we can win. And we're saying, where is the answer? Well, The first reading told us the answer, the reading that came out of Jesus' mouth in St. Luke's Gospel. The answer to all those questions is two words, Jesus Christ. Is that how simple our faith is? It is. Jesus Christ is the answer to our questions. Why? Well, it says, he came to help the poor in spirit, those who are depressed, those who are anxious, those who are frustrated, those who don't know how they're going to make the next end meet. They don't understand what's going on. They're living by the rules and they seem to be getting trampled on. Christ came for you to say, have hope, all you who are poor in spirit. He also came to those who were prisoners to do what? To free them. And we find ourselves enslaved to a lot of stuff. Our own prejudices, our own ideas about how things should be versus how things are. Our own focus on stuff, oftentimes over spiritual realities. The state of our soul often takes second or third place behind the state of our bank account or our home or our family, all those other things. That happens. And the Lord says, I've come to free you from that kind of bondage. Because what we tend to do is we tend to close off life, and that scares us. The Lord came to open up life, you see? It's a big difference. You close stuff down and you kill it. You close stuff down and you just literally choke the life out of it. And we see that's what happens in the world. When we focus on ourselves, when we focus on possessions, we choke life out of it. And we see now a junkyard, huh? Or what John would call a wilderness. You know, you don't see washing machines or cars up on blocks or something. But when we begin to look at the world, it looks kind of like a wilderness. And Jesus says, I didn't come to make this place wilderness. I came to make it a garden. And another place in Isaiah says, this is how this garden is going to come about for us. He says, let your justice rain down from heaven. Let your grace and mercy come upon us. Why? Because it's clear in that passage from Isaiah, Jesus has come to announce a year of favor, that with the Word becoming flesh, with Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary, God's grace is available and present and active in the world right now. This very moment, God is acting in you if you choose to let him do it. This moment, God could be letting beautiful things grow in your heart and give you hope if you don't block it. That's why St. Paul says, don't quench the Spirit. We like to close things off. We like to tighten things up. But the gospel says that's not how it's going to be. And John comes baptizing. Huh? And what does he come baptizing to do? To prepare the way of the Lord. That his baptism he offers is not the sacrament of baptism that we receive. That immersion into the life and death of Jesus so that we come out as a new creation. We get a new start and a new life and a new love and a new glory. That's not what John's doing. John is softening up that wilderness. He is softening up that hard ground. Because life, if we're not looking at it through Christ's eyes, is going to harden us up. It's worse than asphalt. You know, you got that hard ground. There's no place for that to go. It just bounces off it. John's come to soften it up. To soften that ground up so that when the Word does take root in us, it's going to grow up something beautiful. It's going to turn that wilderness into a garden. And that's what we're preparing for as we prepare to celebrate the feast of the birth of the Lord. And if we think about it that way, then that should be our priority. That should be our focus in life. To let life be opened up by Christ. It's hard this time of year though. You know, everybody is worried about finances, but we're also worried about trying to do stuff and trying to keep the status quo as every Christmas and do these things or bake these things and buy these things. And you know, and then we get to that day that oftentimes just terrifies priests. And that's the Christmas Eve masses. Holy Moses, you can't fit them in there with a shoehorn. You got so many. And you talk to some of the people and you hear, yeah, well, we're coming to get this out of the way so then we can go celebrate Christmas. And I thought, now, wait a minute here. We got a problem. You're putting God out of the way so you can celebrate Christmas? Well, I think it's kind of the other way around, shouldn't it? We should put the other stuff secondary and make this the center. Call me crazy. Crazy, thank you. Okay. I usually help out at a black parish, and I get people responding to me, so it doesn't bother me a bit. Usually it's an amen or say it again, but you're crazy. I accept it. Okay. Because many people think I'm crazy, but it doesn't mean I'm not right. Crazy people are right sometimes. They're just crazy. Good Lord knows I got plenty. Plenty of craziness. But I'm not crazy enough to see, you know, what's going on with life and with the world. And one of the things that's become very clear to me is that we got to hang on to something that doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. You know, the letter of the Hebrews says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We got to have that anchor. We can't put our anchor in our money and stuff. The stock market goes up and down every day. We can't put it in stuff because stuff breaks, stuff falls apart. It's even hard times to put it in people because sometimes people are unable to live up to their commitments. Even how hard we try and how much we encourage them, even sometimes that breaks down. We got to hold on to the one thing that's not going to hold, that's not going to let us down, and that's Jesus Christ. And for that to happen, we need, as St. Paul said to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Share our life with God every day. I know there's many people here that wouldn't think about starting their day without their first cup of coffee. Well, you got to have that and get started up. But we often don't think we should start our day before we take that pot or a cup of coffee to take some time and say, Lord, this is what I need to do today. In my state of life, I'm required to care for the children, make sure they're off at school, help things around the house or go to work. Help me to do the best I can for their good and your glory and honor. And then thanking. Two things that should be a part of our prayer every day. Thanking God for all that he's given us and asking for his help. If we do those two things, we're going to find our life, even if it has crosses, and there's going to be crosses. Even if there are hardships, there's going to be plenty of those. Even if there are terrible things that happen, that we're not alone in it. We're not alone, that Christ is always with us. And that's the faith that gives us life. A lifeless person is one without faith. It's also not much of a life. Because if we recognize that from the time we get up every day to the time we go to bed, God is inviting us into this wonderful world of his grace, this wonderful world of serving, this wonderful world of being obedient, this wonderful world of being generous, of discovering about ourselves and about God and about other people, tremendous things. Life is quite an adventure. It's a great gift. But that only happens if we begin to take on that life of Christ, if we recognize that Jesus did come to liberate us from our sinfulness, from our narrow vision, that he did come to us who are poor and give us the riches of the Holy Spirit, far more valuable than any of the gold in Fort Knox. And part of those riches he gives us is the grace of the sacramental life. This Tuesday night we have the opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of penance, reconciliation, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am poor in spirit, and these sins have imprisoned me. I'm praying, but I don't think my prayer is going anywhere. I'm coming to Mass, but I don't feel like I'm getting anything. What have I put into my life to change that garden into a garbage dump? And you come and you receive that sacrament, you confess your sins, and life begins to grow again. That life of grace, that life of love, that life of mercy. And when we come here today to celebrate the great gift of the Holy Eucharist, of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we see the same thing happening here. God again coming to us under very humble, ordinary things. But it's God the Son, Jesus Christ, the divine word, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We receive his body and we drink his blood that we can have life, that we can be opened up to that grace, that we can be opened up to God, and then we can be opened up to ourselves and to one another. So on this Gaudete Sunday, we have much to rejoice about. Even if the world seems to be falling apart, Christ is the same. Even if we're having hardships, Christ has died for us and offered us eternal life. Even if life doesn't look like it's worth living, Christ died that we might live forever. So on this feast, let us thank the Lord and rejoice that no matter what comes our way, God is on our side, and God wants us to have that light which produces for us the illumination of the truth, that light which produces for us great warmth, that light which ultimately is the love of Jesus Christ incarnate, who we receive every time we eat his body and drink his blood.